Well, I think, I mean, I think generally people are slowly but steadily starting to become a little bit more aware of some of the privacy implications of sort of a newly digitalized world, as it were. I wouldn't necessarily read too much into the Hulk Hogan case. From what I've read, it was initially brought in a federal court who basically just laughed at them and said, please go and read the First Amendment, which, you know, protects the right to free speech in the US, of course. And it's also my understanding that it's almost certain to get overruled on appeal. So it's an interesting case. And the other factor, which I understand, is that actually Hulk Hogan's concern allegedly is actually not so much about the sex tape, but actually about some very derogatory and racist remarks he made on some other material that apparently was also caught up in however they got hold of that information. So that's just an aside. But I think, you know, there's a continuing sort of balance to be found, I think, between, you know, the public's right to know about certain things about people in the public space, and then on the converse, you know, the right of people in the public space to have some sort of private life.
Mm.
And we saw there were some interesting developments a few years back in the United Kingdom where they came up with this concept of what's called a super injunction. And there was a classic case which involved Ryan Giggs, who many of your members will know, played for Manchester United for many, many years. And, of course, he was in a extramarital affair. Everyone knew about it, but it wasn't able to be published in the media because of this sort of super injunction. It became a bit of a running joke where sort of you could go onto Twitter and find out in 10 seconds what was going on, but of course the media couldn't talk about it. And that's clearly, you know, a step too far. Mm. But, you know, it's a continuing struggle, and there's some legislation being considered in Australia, I think, that may start to impact this area as well, which is what we're talking about.
And how often do we see celebrities taking this to the court and suing for compensation? Is it a regular thing?
Well, it's not. I don't think we see it too often in Australia. And Australia's defamation laws are a pretty interesting mix. They differ, of course, from state to territory. And in today's world, where everything is essentially published everywhere, you have the ability to do what's called sort of jurisdiction shopping. So you go and you bring your case in whichever jurisdiction you think is going to be the most amenable to your position. I mean, the last sort of high profile defamation case that I can sort of remember is Joe Hockey going after the Sydney Morning Herald based on some tweets they sent out, which was pretty interesting. So it really depends on sort of the jurisdiction you're in. I mean, in the US, of course, generally, people are much more litigious anyway, but then on the other side, they also have, you know, their First Amendment, which gives very, very broad and very, very clear protections to free speech that we certainly do not enjoy in this country. People may be aware that the High Court, I think back in the 80s, interpreted an implied protection for political speech in Australia, but that's really it. There's no other constitutional protections in Australia for, in fact, either privacy or free speech. So, in a sense, that leaves us in a quite a different position to say the UK, which has always had a very strong, you know, tabloid, you know, media, and we've seen all the phone hacking and things like that. And I suspect that's probably part of what's changed people's perceptions as well, is that, you know, in a sense, the media there particularly clearly overstepped the line. And, you know, you can see the moment when that changed, when it became clear that that a journalist had hacked the mobile phone of a young girl that had been murdered in order to sell newspapers, and the public response to that was as you'd expect. So, you know, the media does need to take some responsibility there, I think. But, you know, we also don't want to be shutting down free speech where it's necessary.
And how different are cases when you're comparing celebrities to regular members of the public in terms of defamation, in terms of crossing the line? Is there much of a difference in the cases involving the two different parties, I guess?
Again, look, it's going to depend on sort of which jurisdiction you're talking about. And I don't sort of have any ready examples from Australia to hand because I don't think they tend to be brought very much here. These things tend to happen more in the US and so forth. But one thing that I think does sort of temper this a little bit is what we call the Streisand effect. And you can Google that, look up on Wikipedia. And essentially that originated with a case some time back, sort of pre-internet world, as it were, where Barbara Streisand had bought a new property in Malibu on the coast in Los Angeles, and was desperately trying to sort of suppress information about that. And in fact, the act of trying to suppress the information just brought more attention to it. So that's what we call the Streisand effect, is where you try and, you know, when you actively try and shut things down, all you're actually doing is making people more aware of their existence. Mm-hmm. So I think that's certainly a factor in some celebrity cases. But look, there's a couple of there are a couple of things happening legally in Australia that I think are worth talking about here. One is there's a proposal which has actually been raised by a couple of Labor Party members to enact what's loosely called a revenge porn bill. And this is something that would introduce a new criminal offence around posting sexually explicit material about anyone with certain provisos and so forth. And we're sort of cautiously supportive of that. I think it does, you know, there are clear issues there, and particularly, you know, if you're any of your listeners are familiar with sort of the actual concept of revenge porn, it's pretty nasty stuff. And I think, you know, there's a space there to call that out and make that into a slightly, slightly more clearly defined issue. And I think that will help with prosecutors and the police, and the DPP have sort of said, look, we need a bit more guidance here. Mm. So that's one issue that will kind of, in a sense, clarify the law around, you know, putting up sex tapes and things like that. There's also then, and probably more importantly, and this has come out of it, there's been a number of state parliament reviews, Victoria, New South Wales, and I think just this week, South Australian Parliament have all come out, committees have come out and recommended that there be implemented what's called sort of a statutory cause of action for serious invasions of privacy. And the Australian Law Reform Commission has also put out a report a year or two back saying, look, if we did this nationally, this is what it would look like. And essentially what that would potentially do is fill a bit of a hole in our privacy protections at the moment, which would give people a civil case. So, for example, let's import the Hulk Hogan case here. It would create the ability for him to then bring a similar case in this country, which he doesn't currently have. Now, you know, there are clearly, you know, there needs to be a balance there. We don't want the sort of rich and famous to be using a law like that to shut down reporting of legitimate activity. But on the other side, there are people that are genuinely and seriously harmed when their privacy is breached in all sorts of circumstances. And at the moment, you know, we have a pretty toothless and extremely under-resourced privacy commission. So the likelihood of them getting any redress in that sort of situation is actually pretty small in this country at the moment. So a statutory cause of action sort of means that they could then initiate, essentially, you know, sue in the federal court, somebody that they've alleged has breached their privacy, and then the court would sort it out. And I think, you know, your listeners will appreciate that Australian courts tend not to give the sorts of jury-based damages that we saw in the Hulk Hogan case. And so that's going to be an interesting thing to see how that plays out, to see if the states go their separate ways and come up with 8 different versions and we get a national version, or we do something on a standardised basis. But there's certainly a lot of movement here in this space.
And just really quickly, how can you see the future of tabloid journalism and gossip sites with all these new different changes?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there's clearly demand there in the community for this sort of information. And while there's demand, somebody's going to meet it. Mm. You know, if that's going to be, you know, if that's going to be your Who Weekly and whatever, the newsstand, or it's going to be, certain celebrity gossips on Twitter or TMZ or whatever it is, you know, I think there's always going to be somebody servicing that demand, because the demand is there. And, you know, to some extent, people that are in the public space, you know, that's of public interest. But we do need to make sure that, you know, they are able to have a private life, and particularly, I think, particularly that, you know, their children and things like that aren't caught up in it. Mm-hmm. And I've certainly got issues with, you know, paparazzi chasing around, you know, people, celebrities and their children, and sort of getting them involved. I think children particularly have a have a greater expectation and requirement for privacy in these sorts of areas. But yeah, I don't see this going away. While there's demand, somebody will service it. There's no doubt about that.